Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yes, indeed, and I am joined by Mary Meyer, horticultural science faculty member and extension horticulturist at the U of M. You want to ask Mary questions about gardens, about lawns, let's see, ornamental grasses, her last book. What was the name of that book?
That's a great book. The 10 Plants That Changed Minnesota. Gosh, I had so much fun writing that, and still lots of interest in that. I just last week gave a talk on that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So, yeah, right. I am watching the cover of Crop Science for that book to be on it, or some one of the 10 plants is going to be on it.
Oh, so, fun.
Yeah,
fantastic.
So lots of fun.
That's
with that
fun.
Book.
How long did it take you to put that together?
Oh, a year. A year of writing after you get the contract. I think a year is kind of standard, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. If you get a contract, I work on a year, try to get it done in a year.
That's fantastic. Well, I like to hear from that about that from time to time because it's a great book. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary, call it in or text it in. Again, the same number applies for phone calls and text messages, 651-989-9226. For your phone calls and or text message. And we've cleared the line, so if you want to talk to Mary, I urge you to call or text right now because we do get busy here.
We get very busy. And in the beginning, people are listening and thinking, and then all of a sudden, it's an avalanche of calls
and it's a few minutes to go to the end of the show.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Right. So early this morning, Mary, we received a text from a listener wanting to know, is anything going on at the Arboretum this holiday weekend that's coming up?
Yes, there's so much going on at the Arboretum. So last Thursday, we had the tree lighting ceremony, and we have another beautiful 25-foot-tall poinsettia tree in the Great Hall inside. But outside, we have the winter lights display. So it's up and going now on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings. This is free if you're an if you're an Arboretum member.
Okay.
There's no special admission. If you're a member, you can come, bring your family as many times as you want. But it's just on the weekends, in the evening, 5 to 9. But it's a fabulous display of lights around the buildings. And you can come inside. The cafe, restaurant's going to be open. Today, there are two performances during the day. Today, there are two performances of musical Christmas music out there. The gift shop has some fabulous things. If you're a member, there's a special discount for the gift shop. So this is a great time. If you're not a member of the Arboretum, become a member. come back all through the holiday season, enjoy the winter light. So inside, beautiful Christmas trees, and outside, fabulous lights. Some with music. Yeah, it's lots of fun.
Any time of the year, it's great to go there. But I always like to mention that during the holiday, when family and friends are gathering, say, well, where are we going to take our friends or family? Take them to the Arboretum.
Exactly, because now the winter lights is really a fun thing. And new this year, if people don't want the hassle of driving and parking, et cetera, the Chaska, from Chaska, Southwest Transit is running a bus system.
No
in
kidding.
In the evenings, yeah, from 4:30 on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday evenings, you can park in Chaska and then ride a bus out to the Arboretum.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so check out the website. It will show you the trail where the lights are, as well as the information on the transit.
But if you are going to drive, directions, quick directions, west on 5.
Yes, west on Highway 5, just west of the intersection of 41 and 5. You'll see the just on the south side there. So beautiful time to see the Arboretum. Lots
really
going on. Yep.
And the temperature's moderate, too.
Today, this weekend, a wonderful time to get outside in the sunshine, enjoy the walk. You can walk around Three Mile Drive. Now, the drive, we have closed the drive around Three Mile Drive, and I think that will stay closed now because we had those early icy days.
Oh, yeah.
Snow. So we closed the drive, but certainly a wonderful place to walk.
All right. Call in your lawn or garden question or text it in, 651-989-9226. That number applies to both. I was thinking, because in the last week, actually the last couple of weeks, maybe more, as you know, Mary, we've had a lot of questions, both calls and texts, about dormant seeding.
Oh, yeah.
That seemed to be a big topic. And
it's really interesting because the weather is what really determines dormant seeding. And of course, we can't predict the weather.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, I was on and I said, oh, this is it. You know, today, forget it. Today, forget it. And then Teresa came on and things moderated. And Teresa said, yeah, I think we've got some time here. And of course, we do. Because,
and it looks like this week is still another
if
chance.
If you have the seed, I would definitely put it down. Our soil temperatures are at freezing. This is interesting. If anyone is out there shoveling, I don't think you can shovel anymore. I think that's over. And that usually when the soil is totally frozen, it's past the time for dormant seeding.
Oh, okay.
But we are hovering right around because we've had these warmer days and then cool. And so normally we say mid-November is about the time to do it, but then we had that cold snap. So it's a challenge.
It really is. I see a lot of this time of year, maybe especially this time of year, tree trimmers, major companies with the big cherry pickers.
Perfect timing. Yes, that's the one other thing I was going to say. This is the time to do it. Our oaks, this is a safe time to prune oaks. And really, pretty much all of your trees, you can do a lot of pruning. It's good because people are not as concerned about their flower beds down below. They're pretty much dormant and gone, so they don't mind if somebody walks over them on the bottom because it's over for the season. And it's a safe time for pruning. It's easy to see. We just wrote an article about hazardous trees and how to select an arborist.
Oh, yes.
That's up there also on our website. So if you go to extension.umn.edu, click on Yard and Garden, learn about Yard and Garden. The blog will come up and you'll see these wonderful pictures of bad trees or trees that are hazardous that might fall. So this is kind of a learning thing for a lot of people to understand what's a good branch angle, what's a bad branch angle. And the very first thing is what kind of tree do you have? Because that determines how fast it grows, if it's likely to break, when to do the pruning and things like that. So lots of great information on the website. And in the winter, we can really see the branches on the trees.
Yeah, that's true.
So good time to look up and evaluate your trees and have tree work done.
And the website is?
extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Let's go to the phones, Mary. Ron is first up. You're calling from Savage. Ron, you're on with Mary.
Good morning, Mary. I'm calling to find out if it's too late to plant tulip bulbs.
Well, if you can get them into the ground, you definitely should do that. I think it's going to be a real challenge for you with what I would consider to be manual tools. Now, at the Arboretum, where we plant a lot of tulips, we actually use an auger, a bulb auger. And if you have access to that, one that's, 3 inches in diameter or so, That's going to be your challenge, Ron. You need to plant them, but will you be able to get into the ground because it's frozen?
Okay. Good luck, Ron.
Let me know.
Yeah, let us know. Let's go to Forest Lake. I think Mary is there. Mary, you are on with Mary.
Good morning. I hear about a spray that you can use on your outdoor living evergreens. Is it too late to put that on now, or does it work? Or
I think probably what you're referring to are things that we call or kind of the anti-desiccants.
Yes.
Wilt-proof things.
Wilt-proof, yes.
Yes. Those are good for the broad-leafed evergreens or some of our needle evergreens that if they can't take up enough water in the wintertime, they tend to dry out. So you can try that if you've had desiccation or drying out on branches, especially maybe the south side where there is more exposure and higher wind. You can try that and you can put that on. You want to read the label because it's the temperature that's important to actually get that good coverage. So I don't know what that label is going to say. Today could be a good day, especially where the sun is out, because you need a pretty warm temperature to put that on.
Yeah, going to be 41 today and 42 tomorrow with the
So I think that's probably as good as we're going to get.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Mary. In fact, that Bonide product we talk about is called Wilt Stop.
Wilt Stop or Wilt Proof or something.
Wilt Stop by Bonide.
Yeah, those are for the evergreens.
Yes, right? For the evergreens. All right, Mary, let's take a break. We have more calls, more texts to help out here this morning. Call in or text in. Same number, 651-989-9226. Right now, a few clouds here in the Twin Cities. Our CCO temperature reading 29. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering your questions by phone and text as usual. Same number. Call in or text in, 651-989-9226. Mary, let's go back to the phones. I believe George has been waiting there. George, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hi, Mary. I'm just wondering about raspberry bushes. Do you prune them back at all or not?
Yes. Normally, raspberries will really respond well to pruning. And depending on what kind you have, the traditional ones, you can take off all the canes that bore. Once they bear fruit, those canes die. And you can kind of tell that when you look at them, what the older canes are. You can prune those off to the ground. The other canes, you can cut back by one-third. If you have the ever-bearing ones, they tend to bear continually and don't have the whole stem that dies. You can cut them back by one-third. So if you're unsure, I would say you could cut them back by one-third. And this is a good time to do pruning with the raspberries.
Okay, good. Thank you, George. George leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Victoria. I believe Pete has been waiting there. Go ahead, Pete. You're on CCO.
Yeah, good morning. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Is it too late to sod?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time finding a sod grower who is going to come out and put the sod down. I'd be very concerned about that because one of the things is you have to water sod. So this is not like seed where it will sit there dormant and be okay. The sod is too vulnerable. If you put that down this time of year, I would expect a lot of death and browning by the spring. I think the whole plant would die over the winter. So I would not do that until the weather improves in the spring.
Especially like you brought up watering.
Right. How are you going to water it? Yeah. It'd turn into a block of ice out there. And then you'd have a real problem because once you have a plant encased in ice, that really is death.
Yeah. Right. All right. Thank you, Pete. Texter says this. We planted asparagus roots last summer. Should we cut them down and should we mulch?
Asparagus is really hardy, so that's not something you have to worry about mulching. You could put some mulch on But I'd be very concerned about weed seeds and the introduction of weed seeds into an asparagus bed, because those are perennials, and that's our biggest concern with asparagus, is getting weeds into the bed. So not necessarily need to mulch. And as far as cutting it back, if you don't like the looks of it, you can. But frankly, I would just leave it alone, because sometimes cutting back our plants in the fall does predispose them to hardiness or winter kill. So I just leave it alone.
Keep in mind, Mary's going to be with us a little over half hour, but don't wait. If you have a question, we always get kind of backlogged as we head to the top of the hour. So call in your question or text, same number, 651-989-9226. Speaking of texts, I've planted some new, this is for the text line now, not me. I've planted some new spirea this year. Should I still be watering them until it freezes?
Yes, I would say it is a good idea. The last few weeks now, we have not had much water. So especially newly planted things from the end of the summer on, you should have watered that. This would be kind of the last attempt at watering. And you should watch it closely when you're watering, because you'd have to put it on low and slow to get it to go in at all, because, again, of the ground being right at or near freezing temperatures. So you have to watch that. If it's just going to run off, it's kind of past the point. But you might be able, depending on the exposure, to actually get some water in the ground.
You know, we talk a lot about lawns and dormant seeding and things like that. Is there something that the gardeners could do for their garden as we head into the depth of winter?
Yes. So cleaning up your garden, vegetable plants and so on, putting any diseased plants, dispose of those in commercial or municipal compost is the best way to go. If they're not diseased, I still like to clean up the vegetable garden and put the non-diseased plants in compost. So that's the one place you can minimize diseases is the vegetable garden. Clean up in the fall.
Clean it up. Yeah. All right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, Mary. Again, we have about a half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. If you have a question for Mary, lawn or garden type, call it in or text it in. That same number applies. 651-989-9226. We'll be back in a moment. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on CCO. Mary Myers with us, helping you out today. Call in your question, your lawn or garden question, or send a text. Same number, 651-989-9226. All right, Mary, let's try to catch up on some text messages, then back to the phones we go. Christmas cactus bloomed, but the leaves are drooping and limp. It was like this in the summer, too. Should I repot it? Texter wants to know.
You know, I would certainly think about repotting it. Take the pot off and look at the roots. You should see white for healthy growing roots. If you don't see many white roots and they're brown or dark colored, that's a sign the root system is not healthy. So I would just consider repotting it. That wilted look on the leaves means it isn't taking up enough water, and it could be because you've maybe overwatered it and the roots have died, or perhaps underwater. So good time for repotting.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Terry is calling from Chaska. Terry, you're on with Mary.
Hi, Mary. I have a question about hostas. We have quite a few here. Typically, I would cut them down in the spring and clean that up. I was wondering if it's okay to remove them now, or does that inhibit the plant at all?
As long as it's gone, they're brown and not green. As long as they're not green, you can clean them up right now. I know that sometimes hostas, their stems, in fact, I came into our neighborhood the other night and I looked around the trees and I thought, what are those things sticking up? Well, they were the hosta. They were the hosta flowers still remaining, and they were just silhouetted there in the lights. So sometimes they are kind of conspicuous. So you can cut those down.
All right, good. I remember Julie saying, I'm too lazy. I just leave them. And they kind of melt, don't they?
They melt away. That's yeah. And many of them have already melted. Foliage is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Thank you, Terry. Back to the text messages. Do all plants benefit from mulching for winter, or should some not be mulched?
Most everything does benefit from being mulched in the winter. The only time I can think that would be not good is if you've got the volcanoes around the base of a tree where you've built up way, way, way more than 2 inches of mulch, and you've kind of got that against the trunk of the tree. We don't advise 2 inches of mulch is a good amount. And up close to the trunk of the tree is not good. So, but otherwise, yeah, I can't think of a time I wouldn't recommend organic mulching.
Very good. 651-989-9226. That number applies to both text and calls. Texter says, we have a mature maple tree which always produces small leaves. The trunk of the tree actually splits into three trunks. Should we remove the two smaller trunks to improve the leaves?
Well, it might be the variety of maple that you have. Red maple comes out with the smallest size leaf, and now we have some hybrids between red and silver maples. But those small leaves probably are indicative of not very healthy. So three trunks together is a really bad sign, especially if they're all together. This is a high-stress area where one of those trunks could actually just fall right off and rip right off. So this is what we were talking about with what's a hazardous tree look like. So on the extension.umn.edu, the Yard and Garden blog, we have some pictures up there of the multiple trunk trees showing you, pointing right to where's the problem with this. It sounds like this is a small tree. For some reason, I'm thinking it's small. I don't know. But if it's something you as a homeowner could do, well, maybe I'd take off one of those trunks.
They call it, Mary, a mature maple tree.
Yeah. So I think you need an arborist, really, to give your recommendation. Most all the arborists will give you a free estimate. They will come out and look at your tree and give you a free estimate. So I would go that route, getting a couple estimates.
Good idea. All right. What's the best time, Texter, a couple of questions, actually, to prune Canadian sand cherry bushes? Also, I have a nesting blue spruce tree that needs trimming. How should that be done and when?
Actually, you could do both of those right now. Blue spruce and sand cherry. Yeah, you could do both of those right now when it's dormant. The spruce, you could use some of those clippings in evergreen arrangements, or you can use those for mulch on top of herbaceous perennials.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, here's a real interesting question on the text screen. I have a relative that loves to garden and grows vegetables and flowers. They use manure on their garden beds and rototill it in. They were recently diagnosed with intestinal parasites. Could this be caused by putting manure on the vegetable plants? Very concerned.
Yeah, that's a great question. So normally, this is not a problem because most people don't use fresh manure. And unless you are really in touch with a farmer or, you know, regularly going to a farm where there is livestock, the manure that you would buy in a commercial bag or whatever is very old and decomposed.
Oh, yeah.
So the chance of parasites is very, very low because of the age of the compost. Fresh manure, big problem. Yeah, that certainly could be an issue. Most of the time it's not because things have been decomposed. But there is a lot of information about food safety and gardening, composting, and sources of manure, using manure, and so on our website. So that's a good thing to check out.
Well, you have so many things on that website.
I know we do. But usually, pretty much, you know, most people don't have access to fresh manure unless they've got livestock.
Okay. 651-989-9226. Back to the phones we go. Let's see. Susan is calling from Minneapolis. Susan, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hi, good morning. Quick question regarding a indoor fica bonsai tree. I got it 2 years ago and learned rapidly that it needs lots of water as I lost all its leaves. It is now a full tree again, but it seems to have leaf wilt, and I don't know what I've changed in the last couple of months to have the leaves look wilted, so to speak.
Is this a ficus tree? Did you say bonsai, ficus. Yeah. Okay. So ficus is an evergreen. This is not a tree that's going to lose its leaves. So, right, should be evergreen. So I assume this is the little, small, fiddly fig ficus, or the one that we see in malls quite a bit, which there the leaf is bigger. So something's happening with the roots here with either too much water or too little water to have that wilting. I have to tell you that this you're working on one of the toughest things. The bonsai, long-lived bonsai, is truly an art. It's a very difficult plant to grow indoors. It's such a limited root system compared to the volume of the top that anytime it gets in the wrong balance, unbalanced there with a root shoot ratio, it's just very, very difficult. Most people that have good bonsai have got a greenhouse or some other, 20 years of gardening skill with bonsai. It's just really tough.
Is
so
it?
I would applaud you for keeping yours and having it come back to life again when you lost the foliage and then it came back and everything. If it was mine, I really wanted to keep it. I probably would go to a professional place like Bachman's or Gerton's or Otten Brothers and ask them for advice or recommendation. And try to find – there's also a bonsai society with local chapters where you could have some conversations with members or ask questions on their website. But that is very specialized.
Okay. Texter says, this, Mary, how do I explain to my neighbor that the Dutch white clover I planted in my bee lawn should not be considered a broadleaf weed in his?
Well, you have to say exactly what you just said and explain to them that you're interested in the pollinators and the diversity and supporting native bees as well as honeybees and so on. So I think having a conversation is good. You might want to take some literature from our website, extension.umn.edu, or the Bee Labs website at the University of Minnesota. We have a lot of documentation now on the loss of pollinators and their importance to our food crops. So I would hope just education would be the answer to improved relationships and understanding. And then you might want to be respectful and create a barrier or maintain the clover well into your property, and when you get to within, 10 feet of the property line, you minimize the amount of clover that's there in the shared space.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's
be
helpful.
A good neighbor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mary is calling in from Mound. Mary, you're on with Mary.
Hi. I have an asparagus patch, and this summer I was noticing baby asparagus coming up in my flower beds. And I want to know what's the best time to dig up those babies and move them back over to the patch.
Early spring is the best time to move any asparagus. And that's the birds eat the berries or the seeds on asparagus, mm-hmm. and then they spread the seeds. So it's very common to see that coming up. You'll want to dig pretty deep. Asparagus has a big root system to move those and increase your patch. But I would say early spring, just as it starts to grow.
Mary, a texter wants you to address this time of year amaryllis.
Hey, what a beautiful plant to buy for Christmas. And you can buy this. My favorite place to buy amaryllis is in the garden centers, where they usually just have the bulb sitting there. And then you can see exactly the health of the bulb, the size of the bulb, and so on. But there are a lot of stores that sell amaryllis in boxes. And on the box is a beautiful plant and what it's going to look like. Of course, the color, because there are a lot of different colors. You want to see that. But I would really encourage you to pick up these boxes and see. Some might be really light. Now, you got to check also, is there a pot inside? Because, of course, that's going to add to the weight.
Sure.
But if you pick up some of these boxes, you'll see some of them are really lightweight and others are heavy. This is the weight of the bulb. And there's different sizes of amaryllis bulbs. And after these have been in a box for a few months, they deteriorate. So we are about 6 weeks out from Christmas. 6 weeks is the magic number for amaryllis. If you plant them, they will bloom in about 6 weeks, normally, if their things are normal. So if you want to give one for a gift, get a heavy box. Make sure you got a big, heavy bulb. And if you want to really help out the recipient, you can actually plant it for them. Maybe put it back in the box, or maybe have the box beside it. But planting it is another issue. And for some people, some of these bulbs don't have soil in the box. There's just a bulb, some there's a bulb, soil, and a container. So check it out, though. I would encourage you to look at these bulbs before you buy them, because then you'll know if it's really a good, healthy bulb. And the longer they're in the box, so, you know, clearance after Christmas, amaryllis are a real question. Because then they could be really shriveled up. If you look in the box, you might see the flowers.
How about that?
They might actually flower in the box. I've seen that before. So when they're in the box, it's helpful, but look at the box. Look inside.
All right, I know we have to take a break, but I want to get Sharon's call from Eden Prairie in here. Sharon, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. What a beautiful day. Say, Mary, is it too late to mow the lawn and mulch the leaves?
No, you can still do that. For most of us, our lawns have quit growing, but the leaves are still falling. I have a silver maple that will just not quit. So it's still got 25% of the leaves on that tree. And my lawn is covered now with the leaves. So my husband is going to be out there, maybe raking if they're really deep. If not, he'll just run that lawnmower around to mulch up those leaves. And the rule is 20%. So you want to leave 80% of your lawn should be uncovered. Only 20% covered. Otherwise, keep raking or chopping those leaves.
It seems like it's never ending this year.
It's later and later.
Yeah.
We always used to think the second week in November was the drop for that silver maple. And here we are in the third week, and it's not dropped.
Oh, my. We'll be doing that this weekend, I know.
Yes.
Quick break this coming up here on CCO. We have more show to come. We have callers. We have texters. So don't go away. Smart Garden returns here in a moment on 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Mary Meyer is with us from the University of Minnesota and helping you out by phone and by text. Speaking of which, Mary, let's go back to the phones. Kay is on the line. I believe Kay is calling us from Waverly. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. My question is, we have ornamental red dogwoods in front of our screen porch, and they have gotten to be about 5 feet tall. How short can we safely cut them, and is this a good time?
You can cut them back a lot, Kay. Sometimes there's a practice called coppicing with these dogwoods, which actually cuts them back to the ground, like within 6 inches of the ground. Take the whole top off, because these plants will grow back again. You know, once they're established, and I think at 5 feet tall, it sounds like they are. So some people do this regularly because the new growth on these dogwoods is the most attractive and bright red color. So you might want to cut them down now, and maybe you can even use them for decorations for Christmas time, for the holidays. But this is a good time of year to do it in dormant season.
All right, very good. You know, we have a follow-up. Remember, we had a question about sod. About the sod, and see if I can find this here. It was from a sod company.
Oh, sod company is listening.
Now, if I can
wonderful,
find it.
Good. What are they doing?
Oh, here it is. Hi, Denny and Mary. My son is a sod repair supervisor for a turf company, and their sod season ended November 4th this year, which was two weeks earlier than last year. For your information, 98% of sod is for new construction.
Interesting. So thank you. There you have it from the business end of things. So yes, the fourth, see, when it started to get cold, couldn't put it out.
Yep.
And that's right. That's good. You don't want to see that brown carpet out there in the spring.
A lot of questions about hostas today. Here's one. I have two hostas and two pots. Do I need to put them in the garage, or take them out of the pot, or bring them in the house, or what?
They're not going to live outside above ground. I mean, I'd be really surprised if they did. It's the roots that are not as hardy as the top. So when that root is out of ground, when it's above ground in a pot, it's much more likely to die. So the garage where they won't, hopefully won't go real cold, or if you can get them in the ground, I would try to do that. Put the whole pot in the ground, or just put them in a protected area.
Earlier, Mary, you and I were talking about the great place that the Arboretum is. Here's a question. My husband and I got married at the Arboretum last May.
Fun.
We would like to plant an anniversary tree this upcoming May. Living by a lowland with high water table, could we get by with planting tamarack trees?
I do it. Tamarack is kind of my first choice for that high water table. They're a beautiful tree, quite unique, native to Minnesota. They have needles, but the needles turn bright yellow and drop in the winter time. So they're a deciduous conifer. I did just read an article about a native insect that has been more problematic in Minnesota. On conifers, a large insect, but that's a great tree. I would really consider planting that. Red maple is another one that is tolerant of high water tables, but the larch, very pretty.
Here it is, almost December, and another question: is it too late to put grass seed down? What would you recommend? Maybe this weekend, maybe?
If you've already got the seed, it's not going to germinate in your garage. So, yes, I would put that down for dormant seeding. But if you haven't purchased the seed, I would not buy it. It's late for doing dormant seeding because at this point the ground is so frozen that you could have some of it blow away, wash away. The birds could eat it. Teresa was recommending doing it right before snow. So, right. If you could follow that,
your timing.
That's great. If you have your time to do that, that's great.
What does one do, Texter says, for the black leaves that appear on glorious daisies and now my hardy asters? Don't remember that happening years ago.
So that black discoloration is a leaf spot disease. And we see that a lot on the Rudbeckias, daisy-like flowers. So anytime you've had a leaf disease, you want to clean up those plants and get rid of them. Put them in the municipal compost. Probably not in your own compost pile because home composts don't get that hot. And then you want to look for disease-resistant forms of this so that the gold rush is a new form of Rudbeckia, the daisy-like flower, yellow daisy-like flower that does not get the leaf spot. So we were talking about that the last time I was on the show, and we wrote an article about that on the Yard and Garden blog.
Okay.
That's an award-winning perennial that the gold rush form of it is disease resistant. So if you've had disease problems, you know, sanitation is a good thing, but getting disease resistant forms is another option.
We have, Mary, less than a minute to go. Get to the Arboretum. What's going on again for those that don't know?
Wonderful display with the winter lights coming up, holiday music there a couple times today, great prices at the gift shop, and then really a winter wonderland of music and lights, actually highlighting some of the breeding programs that have gone on at the university with the plants that are there. And that winter lights is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's free with admission, a great time to become a member if you're not a member of the Arboretum.
Excellent. Landscape Arboretum. You got to get there. Mary, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you, Denny. Always a pleasure to
be here. Thanks for your help today. I know our listeners do appreciate it.